let us say, hope or our intention of coming here. I feel as we go older in Krishna consciousness and older in our spiritual life, it is absolutely important for us to connect with Krishna. I always say a deep spiritual experience in Krishna consciousness is most probably for some of us more important than our daily food. In fact, we can cut short on our on the amounts of food which we take, but we cannot cut short on our absorption in Krishna consciousness. This human form of life is just so brief. It's so quick over. You will realize it when you are on your deathbed. It's very, very short. It goes like a flash. But in this time when we are alive, we have the unique opportunity to come closer to Krishna. And this should be really the motto and the inspiration behind celebrating Janmashtami. Hare Krishna Vaidyanath, welcome. I just see you. Good, so let us sing a little bit and then I will explain. Celebrating Krishna, I think it will be very interesting for you. Hare Krishna, yes. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Taskachyade Satarine. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrindam. Oh, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama, Rama, Hare, Hare.
Everybody, please, one more time.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Bol, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare.
louder. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Amen.
Krishna, Hare Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, Sri Radhe. Jaya Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, Sri Radhe. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Gaura Premanandi, Shri Krishna Jamashtami Mahotsava Ki.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, everyone. Thank you very much for singing. Sometimes Gokrishna gets nightmares when I sing out of tune. Not out of tune, out of rhythm. But somehow, by all the devotees' mercy, we were... Do you appreciate this melody?
Yes.
It's somehow, you know, how to express good melodies. They help that somehow devotional feelings are better able to manifest. So this is a very good melody for that. You can really sing to Krishna. I wanted to entitle my lecture this evening, Celebrating Krishna. And there was a reason in my mind. See, there are many, many people who think about God in various ways. They realize certain aspects of Him. For instance, in our Western tradition, God is seen as a creator. Often He is thought of being everywhere, all present, and omnipotent also, the concept of Ishvara, the ultimate mover or controller, is something which is very prominent in the life of religious people. And I wanted to discuss today and tomorrow what is special about Krishna. The idea was given in my head during the last Ratha Yatra festival. It was very nicely attended. We had our festival in Berlin. I'm speaking of the Berlin Ratha Yatra. By the way, if you want to see a
very wonderful Ratha Yatra. You must come to Berlin. It's really at the best place. We always do it in the center of the town, right where the Brandenburger Tor is. So before, when I came on the stage in order to sing kirtan, I was asked by the master of ceremonies, what's the difference really between Krishna consciousness and other religious expressions? And what came immediately to my mind was something I felt I could not really express to a general public. In Krishna consciousness, Krishna is special. It means the playful Lord, the one who is the Lord of love. Like this morning we heard from Madhavananda, the Lord who moves barefoot through the land of Vrindavan. Why does he do this? He is so absolutely at home there. At home means he can be intimate and very personal with very, very personal or loving devotees. God is a big subject, and according to the way a person approaches him, he will understand certain aspects of the Lord. But if you take the approach of loving devotional service, bhakti, you will understand all the aspects of the Lord, all these concepts which I have explained, and much more. I would like to give you an example which is found in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita. It's the example of milk. Milk has various qualities that are appreciated by various senses. By the eye, when you look with the eye on milk, you see a white liquid. If you smell the milk, there's a certain smell to it. You know, you can actually smell the herbs and the thing. I'm speaking of, you know, natural milk, which is not any longer available on the marketplace, no, which is coming from protected cows and given out of love. When you drink it with the tongue, you will be able to taste a certain sweetness which is in this substance. And when you touch milk, you will see it is very cool. This is how, when you approach the Lord or God, you see certain qualities. Some see him, yes, as being omnipresent. That was how I first thought about the Lord, everywhere, including in my heart. Or others have a slightly different approach. They go through a meditative road, maybe, and they will see this tremendous, unnameable light. They will say, well, it's unexpressible with words because you just can't compare it to anything which words were made for, anything of the world. No? Or the yogis see another quality of the Lord. They see him as Vishnu standing in the lotus of their heart. So in the same way, many different paths gives you a certain understanding of the one substance, the Lord. Now, coming back to the example, is there any sense which can give you a total picture of what is milk? Not just that it's cool or sweet or fragrant or white. Well, if there is such a sense, it's the mind. the mind has heard about milk and has heard about all these qualities, and in your mind you can perceive the quality of milk. I think all of you who have drunken milk in their lives, they know when the word milk is there, the mind makes has a perfect image of the substance, because it's the ruler of all the senses. The mind is best able to comprehend the substance milk in its completeness, in all its aspects. So in the same way, bhakti, being the path of which the Lord has described, leads to a personal understanding of himself. Bhakti has the power to reveal all the various aspects of that one truth, that God. The reason is that when Krishna sees that someone has bhakti in his heart, he wants to reveal himself. He wants to give himself in his entirety to the devotee, which includes the impersonal aspect of the Brahman, you know, the all-pervading light and energy. Mm-hmm. This is a very nice example which is given in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, which highlights why through devotion and devotional service Krishna is revealed in the heart of a devotee in his complete feature. Just like the mind is able to comprehend all the different attributes of milk, in the same way bhakti is competent to reveal all the various aspects of Lord Krishna. So let us celebrate today Krishna, of whom we are all a part. And I want to do this today from one scripture only. It is a rare jewel. It's called Sri Hari Bhakti Ratna Prakash, the splendor of the jewel of Hari Bhakti. What a wonderful book title, The Splendor of the Jewel of Hari Bhakti. It was written by one Raghava Pandit. Raghava Pandit hails from South India. He had education in all the Vedic scriptures. In the Gora Ganodesha Dipika, he's pointed out to be actually a resident of the spiritual world who has descended into this world as Sri Champakalata Devi, the life and soul of Radharani. That's how he is introduced in that book. He is an associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he had a sister called Damayanti who would cook various very special items for Lord Chaitanya, and her brother Raghava Pandit would bring it all the way from Bengal to Puri in big bags, which were called the bags of Raghava Pandit. These preparations included pickles and other such very tasty and precious foodstuffs. And it is said that Lord Chaitanya would eat the whole year from those bags of Raghava Pandit. He would always have Govinda Das, his personal servant, add a little portion from these famous bags to his general meal. And in this way, he would be every day connected with Raghava Pandit and his sister Damayanti. This is how precious the Lord was holding the memory of Raghava Pandit. Later, Raghava Pandit went to Braj, and it is known that in Braj, he would always be covered, he would always look white. Has anyone an idea why Raghava Pandit looked white? The dust, who is saying? Tapasvini is saying? Next to Tapasvini, yes. He was rolling in the dust of Krishna's earthly pastimes, Vrindavan, and therefore he was always covered with whitish dust. It was his style, if you so want to say in modern language. It belonged to his outfit to be covered with white dust. And he is known in the Bhakti Ratnaka as giving Brajmandal Parikramas, that means guided tours through Vrindavan, where such illustrious souls as Narottam and Srinivas Acharya were shown by him the beauties of Vrindavan. Now he must have had, owing to his special qualities, the personal darshan of Krishna. And in his book, he wanted to show Krishna's speciality, what's so special about Krishna. But as a pandit, as a scholar, he didn't just praise him from his own experiences. We are hearing that once we hear of a darshan which he had in a cave in the Govardhan Hills. Govardhan, that was about Narottam and Srinivas Thakur. But he did not talk only from personal experience. He talked like all devotees of Krishna. He substantiated his points from the sacred scriptures. So I would like, in our little journey through Raghava Pandit's book, to start first of all with something which is of great importance to me. It is an information which dispels all the miseries in the heart, all the doubts in the heart, and makes one very happy. Could I tell you this information? Yes. You like to know?
Yes.
Why? We want to learn about Krishna, says Nritya Gopal. Good. It's from the Varaha Samhita, where Lord Varaha explains the individual jiva souls, that's us, are a billion of a billionth part of the blissful nectarian rays of light shining from the dark complexioned form of the Lord. I'm telling this to myself whenever I get miserable. I say, Satchinanda Swami, you are actually a small particle of the Lord. You are like a spark which comes from the original fire, and you should not take your mind too serious and the thoughts of misery in the mind. You should just understand you belong to the Lord. You are like a spark in the light which emanates from Him. Isn't that a nice meditation, Yamuna? To start like this. When you get up in the morning, usually you think, okay, I'm a day older. Soon no one will... Anyways, I don't want to construct anything, any thoughts. But when you get up in Krishna consciousness, you think, I'm a part of the Lord. I'm a spark of the Lord. I belong to the original fire. I belong to my Lord Krishna. I really appreciate this very much. I don't know if I can find this for you. Oh, poop, 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 poop. This is a big notebook.
Everything is in this notebook, including a lecture Prabhupada gave in Honolulu, where Prabhupada speaks about this. Krishna is a big fire, and we are sparks of fire. We are also fire, very small. The spark of fire can remain within the fire, and then it is beautiful. No? When we are with Krishna, our inner light is there. No? And as soon as this pat-pat falls down, the spark, separate from the fire, oh, it is extinguished. No more fire. It is black charcoal. That's all. No? So if you want happiness, is this something you want? No, middle. I don't know if we are in the right place in this lecture. It's so boring. So please listen. So if you want happiness, then we have to dance with Krishna. Be with Krishna. And this is a very nice meditation which Raghava Pandit introduces to us to make something very clear. You, me, and everyone, we have a relationship with Krishna. It is our original relationship. Then we are whole. Then we are complete. Then there's nothing we lack when we dance in that relationship. I'm doing this when I do kirtan and when no one watches. Also, I'm dancing. I do not like to dance so much in public any longer because immediately I'm on Instagram and Facebook and I do not like this. I feel a natural suspicion about the direction which civilization takes that is more into the virtual space. But no, that's not the point. When I dance, I like to dance for Krishna. I like to think I'm a spark, I belong to the Lord, I will give him pleasure with my dancing. So this is how I think all misery goes from the heart. Now I would like to offer a little Krishna meditation to all of you. It is coming from one very wonderful work. Let me find it for you. It is explained in one of the scriptures. It's in the Brihad Vamana Purana. And also some part of it, what we will do now, is from the Vrindavan Mahatmya. So it describes how once the personified Vedas prayed to Krishna for a long, long time. You must know that Krishna is very, very special, and it is described by Rupa Goswami that just like when Krishna comes home from the pasturing grounds of Vrindavan, where his cows were eating grass and meandering about, then Krishna goes at the back of this tremendous cow, groups of cows, billions of cows, as we heard this morning. Krishna will go in the back. And it is described that Mother Earth is very much in pain because so many hooves of the cows. I mean, these are many, many hooves. They are enthusiastic, these cows, because they go back to Vrindavan where their calves are waiting. They really stomp on the ground. So Mother Earth is feeling pain. But because Krishna comes after the cows, his lotus feet walk over the places which the cow hooves have
slightly open, and Mother Bhumi feels, ah, Krishna's lotus feet are cooling the pain of all these cows, and it's all worthwhile because Krishna now walks over my surface. So, but Krishna is so much covered by the dust of the cows that it's very difficult to recognize him. It's a cloud which comes. In the scriptures it is said when the devotees in Vrindavan village who have waited for Krishna all day, who are really almost dead in the absence of Krishna, when they see, when Krishna comes, first they hear the moos of the cows, and then they see one huge cloud of dust, and what they also see is that the devatas come and they dive into this cloud because they want the dust to come on their body. Why? Because it is touched by Krishna's lotus feet. Yes. So just like Krishna is covered by the dust of the cows, this is how Rupa Goswami expresses it, Krishna is also covered by the many, many, many various subject matters which are dealt with in the Vedas. But the Vedas know the core, the essence, the goal of studying us is Krishna. And so one day they couldn't tolerate any longer this, that Krishna is so covered in them, that this is so unrecognizable. And they all prayed to Krishna, Krishna, appear to us. Krishna, please show your form. They said, we understand that you have forms that are totally spiritual, Krishna, beyond matter. The great sages have said, your original form is made of bliss alone. Can you think of a better description of God than saying he is made of bliss, made of boundless, unlimited pleasure? I think there is simply no better perspective on Krishna. And when you attain Krishna, the Upanishads say, you also, Ananda, labhyate, you attain the transcendental bliss. So the Vedas said, we know you have such a form, but it's such a difficult thing to see such a form with our Vedic eyes. Please. At that moment, Krishna appeared in his beautiful form. And the Vedas just looked at him. And then Krishna addressed them. He said, O children, I'm pleased with you. Now tell me what benediction your heart desires. This is Krishna's heart. Whenever Krishna appears, like he does tomorrow, he wants to know what is it that the devotees want. Sometimes when I ask devotees, is there still anything you want? They are surprised by this question. And some of them, like a little bit shaken off their balance, will say, a pizza. But that's, of course, not the answer. That's only, you know, sometimes when a person is surprised, he gives a foolish, unreflected answer. But I'm asking you today to give a reflected answer, something you thought about. Is there something in your spiritual life which you still lack? If you go deep inside, the more important things will come to your consciousness, the more, let us say, essential things will be with you. So the Vedas said, My dear Lord, you have appeared to us as Vishnu, but we have heard that this is not your original form. We have some musical background for this. It was not planned, but it is very beautiful. Please show us your original form. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead heard the request of his Vedas, which are meant to reveal him in toto, he didn't show them his form in the beginning. He first showed them, his transcendental abode, Goloka, Vrindavan, yes. And they could see that this is an eternal kingdom, totally beyond the touch of matter, and full with spiritual bliss. And there they saw a beautiful forest named Vrindavan. There were beautiful groves of desire trees where the happiness of every season was present. The happiness of the spring season are its flowers. The happiness of the summer season is the nice warmth. It's not as hot as here in the west because there is a cooling breeze which brings drops of water from the Yamuna which cool everyone. There's the happiness of the autumn season, the winter season, the dewy season, means there's fog, all six seasons. They could see this. It was present in one grove and in the other grove was another season. And then they saw a most beautiful mountain. If you turn around, you see what is left of this mountain, Giriraj Govardhan. They saw that this mountain was filled with beautiful streams, charming caves, jewels, minerals, and many delightful birds who spoke about Krishna. They saw a wonderful river, Yamuna, the best of river, which was filled with nectarian waters. They saw shores made out of jewels and many swans and lotuses. And then, can I say this to you, my dear devotees? They saw many, many gopis who were intoxicated by the nectar of the many loving rasa dances. And in the midst of the gopis stood the youthful infallible Lord. I like to think about Krishna in this way, First, the devotee who meditates about Krishna will enter the sacred land of Vrindavan. In his mind's ear, he will hear the sound of the bumblebees. He will hear the chirping of the birds. And he will be able to experience the thick atmosphere which is pervaded with fragrance and the constant music of the birds. And as the devotee goes, as you go deeper into the meditation, you will see in your mind's eye the Govardhan mountain and then, of course, the Yamuna. And as you do this, something will happen in your psychology which is called the release of an Udipan. Udipan is a stimulant which will something. You know of this in form of triggers. You know, when a trigger comes, you're triggered into a memory or you're triggered into a joyful reaction or a silent reaction. I know the moment one speaks philosophy, sometimes devotees are triggered into a sleeping mode. It's a trigger, trigger points. Huh? So, Udipans are something else. That they are spiritual and they trigger spiritual memories. So therefore, in Krishna meditation, when you want to know anything about Krishna, you need to go, you need to see his land first and his devotees and so on. Yes. So this is what the Vedas saw when they had this question. And now I wanted to bring your attention to something very interesting in Krishna's leelas or pastimes. We know from scripture that he actually never leaves Vrindavan. A Krishna who leaves Vrindavan takes first a bath in the Yamuna River, and there he makes a little change, so to say. Vasudev, a form of the Lord, which appeared in Mathura, in the prison of Devaki and Vasudev, we talked about this with the children. They all knew about every detail, including how Krishna looks, what are his beauty, and what they could give Krishna for his birthday. One child said, we can give him laddus so that he can then present this laddus to his laddu-eating Brahmin friend, Madhu Mongol. Wonderful. Another child said, I would like to give him a box of tilak. So, very nice. Our children, they're preparing for Jamashtami and for the Jamashtami presents. And anyways, I wanted to, why did I say this? Yes, I wanted to say when Krishna leaves Vrindavan, he stays back as Vrindavan Krishna, the playful Lord, but he goes out of Vrindavan in his Vasudev form, the form which appeared in Mathura to his parents Devaki and Vasudev. And from there, he does, with this form, he does everything else. He takes care of his mission to dispose of the demons and to establish Dharma. And he also lives in his kingdom, Mathura first, and then in Dwaraka. But sometimes that Vasudev Krishna cannot stand it any longer. He thinks, Vrindavan. I must go to Vrindavan. There is a beautiful, let us say, hint of this in the first canto of the Bhagavatam. And I want to tell you a little bit about the circumstances. After the battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna stayed for some time in Hastinapur, and he went with Arjuna on you would say in modern English, on spins. You know, that means they traveled, and they traveled to various places, and they talked as friends do. After all, this was a huge, huge military effort for Arjuna. Under the guidance of Krishna, he was successful. But they wanted, you can't relax on the battle chariot, you know, on the battlefield. So they wanted to relax a little bit. That I want to recommend this to all of you. When you have friends, invite them to a place where you can be peaceful, where nothing else goes on, where you relax a little bit with the friends. I sometimes do this with my friends. I invite them, and we spend a day of time when we are just for us. Huh? So it was a wonderful time for Arjuna. It's said in that time Krishna spoke a mini Bhagavad Gita, a second Gita to Arjuna. And many beautiful discussions took place. I once heard that the Adi Purana was spoken during that time, where Krishna says to Arjuna, I want to open my heart to you. I really become purchased by devotees who chant my holy name and dance before the deities and cry. These devotees can purchase me. They can have me. No one else can have me. Such very, very, very dear subjects were discussed by Krishna and Arjuna. But then the time came to say goodbye. There was music when Krishna left the Hastinapur, because it said one should not cry when someone leaves. There was music, ladies were standing on the roof and they were throwing flowers, like, see here the beautiful flower decoration. I think it means this, that the devatas shower flowers on Krishna. You can see at the altar there's also a rain of nice shower flowers. So everyone, the ladies were on the roof throwing these beautiful flowers. Arjuna went with Krishna and he was holding a white umbrella over his head. And there were others like Satyaki, who took Chamara and waved him. But then, as the music grew louder, because everyone knew, now soon Krishna will go, Krishna just told Daruka, go fast now. Daruka started to accelerate the chariot and tell these temperamental horses, and then Krishna said to Daruka, now. What does this now mean? It meant that the chariot was, that no one saw, was just rising in the air. It went the fast way, you know, the jet way. Others say he travels through all these various countries. Krishna, he does many things. So when Krishna arrived at before Dwaraka, he took his conch shell and announced himself at the gates of Dwaraka. It's beautifully described in the Bhagavatam that when the conch shell touched the lips of Krishna, And his breath, it became red, full of life. This is also what happened to the devotees in Dwaraka. They were lying in the, you know, down on the floor. They couldn't tolerate another day of absence of Krishna. Then all of a sudden they hear Krishna's very, very nice conch shell. This is also when you will first see Krishna, you will either smell his fragrance or you will hear the sound of his flute or the, what is it called, the anchor bells. It's described like this, no? So, they rose like dead people from the deathbed. They rose and they ran out of Dwaraka. And then they said something very surprising to the Lord. They said, whenever you go to Hastinapur and Braj, your absence is felt by us as if you were millions of years away. So I would like to... So what this verse, which is often quoted in our tradition, shows that Krishna indeed had not forgotten the residence of Vrindavan, but he left Dwaraka and his other abodes in or you need whom? Yeah, not here. So when it shows that Krishna often left Dwaraka and his other abodes to go where? To go amongst other places to Vrindavan, to Braj. This is very often quoted, that Krishna came there multiple times. So I want to read to you from this compilation of Shastric places one, how do you say, one incident where Krishna leaves and goes to Radhakund from Dwaraka. Would you, some of you appreciate Radhakund? Yes. You do.
Oh, good, good. I thought you would all look at me.
This comes from the Sri Krishna Yamala. It's chapter 119. There we find that Lord Vasudev, the king of Dwaraka, together with his servant Tripura, approached Sri Sri Radha and Krishna in the divine Vrindavan to gain their audience. By Lord Krishna's order, he said, first, before you see me, he must have informed him, you know, it's not so easy to see me. Vasudev, go and take a bath in Radhakund. Vasudev Krishna. And then Vasudev Krishna bathed in Radhakund, assumed a suitable female form, and accepted the name Syama, and then saw the perfectly affectionate couple, Radha Krishna. Now I will read to you the passage, but let us for a moment think about this. At holy place, Tirtha, always, it comes from the syllable tree, means to cross over. When you go properly to Vrindavan, you leave the west, the world, and go into a spiritual world. And that always has to do with an identity change. I was amazed we gave one Living Name retreat in Radhadesh. We gave many this year. I can't remember how many, but really many. And then there was someone who registered himself. It was a person who had never been in a temple. And the person said, okay, what is the dress code when I go to Radhadesh? It was understood that, if I go to a marriage, I will dress in marriage dress. Cultured people understand like this. When I go to a sports event where I play football against Gaur Krishna knows all the subtle English tricks, you know, then I better have sport shoes and a sport pants, otherwise I will not have any chance. I know some of you who are so expert in dressing that for every occasion they somehow bang get the right dress. It is amazing. It is gives a lot of pleasure to the heart to see. So yeah, changing dress is not so that everyone can do, but changing the sense of identity, for instance, if you want to really enter a festival, you should come as a servant of Krishna. You should consciously change from the man or the woman with millions of things in the head to the person, I have only one thing now. I must take shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. No? But now if you go ideally back into the spiritual world, you won't do this in your German body. No one is impressed if you show your German passport. It's actually not the best part. American passport is best for travel, I learned. No one will be impressed. You have to get a stamp. I'm a servant. It's very important. This is, I'm now speaking of a conceptual change of identity, but ultimately I think we all know it's really not, it's more than a concept. It's really an existential change. But okay, Vasudev was no exception. The Lord Vasudev of Dwaraka had to first take his bath in the Radhakund, and then assumed a female form. You find this all over through the Vedic scriptures. Narada Muni did a lot of tapasya in Vrindavan to see Krishna. Finally, he was advised by Vrindadevi, the guardian, the protector of Vrindavan, you must take your bath in the south eastern corner of Kusum Sharova. And then he did this and he came out in a new identity as Naradi, the gopi. So Vasudev, who will he become? Let's hear this. So he takes his bath and then it goes on. A very dear servant of Radha and Krishna all of a sudden stood before Vasudev, Krishna, who had now changed his form in the bath, and he said, she said, come with me. And Madhu Priya Gopi took Vasudev, Krishna, by the hand and brought him before Srimati Radharani. By that time, he was no longer a him. He was a her or a she. Yes, Vasudev Krishna had turned into a beautiful young little maiden, and his name was now, not surprising for you, Syama with long A in the end. Syama, not Syam, Syama. It's very close. Syama then saw Sri Radhika, whose limbs were gloriously splendid, and whose beauty and playfulness had no rival. And she was leaning against Krishna. Syamal then further saw Radha and Krishna embracing each other, and sweet Radha covering each of Krishna's limbs with her own limbs, means a great embrace, no? And kissing the reservoir of nectar at Krishna Chandra's lips. Krishna's body was covered with the red kumkum that had anointed Radha's limbs. So it is very nicely described how the Lord saw the Super Lord, the origin of himself, at Radhakund after taking a sacred bath, which washed away all his identification as Vasudev Krishna from Dwaraka. It is an illustration, I thought, which would give pleasure to your heart, because the Lord had come back to Vrindavan. There's a beautiful narration in the Padma Purana about another visit of the Lord. When he entered Vrindavan, he had given earlier a promise. Ayamasya, I will return. He had said this to the gopis and to Nanda Maharaj. And now he was coming back. He had crossed the Yamuna. Again, crossing water, sacred water. Because in the crossing of the sacred water, the identity change can take place. No? It's very important. Do you know, when a pujari goes on the altar, he will take water, put a little in the hand, and then say, "Oh, Om Keshavaya Namaha." No? Have you done? Do you know? When you were initiated, have you done? The idea is you take this water, which is informed by the sacred sacred names of the Lord. Om Keshavaya Namaha, Om Govindaya Namaha, Om Naranaya Namaha. And then you have to say it into the water, not everywhere else for Facebook photo, in the water. Then you take it, and then this water, the sacred water, will enter your 79% of water, which is in the body, and make you spiritual. Hare Krishna. This is why we do Archman. No, it spiritualizes us. We understand, we are parts of Krishna, but not this body. The soul is part of Krishna. We are spiritual parts of Krishna. So this is so the Lord crossed over Yamuna, and it's very nicely described. I have described it many times in the past, but the point is, when the Lord crossed, he first needed to observe the dress code. So he put all the princely garments away, and he just dressed very simple with a little chadar. Oh, and he blew into his conch shell. And the Brijbasis heard the sound of Krishna. And just like the Dwarakavasis had awakened from a swoon, they also awakened from a swoon, and they ran towards Krishna. And everyone cried. Even the old people were in front, although they were... Somehow they got strength to run very fast. The trees cried. The cows galloped towards Krishna. It was such a reunion of hearts. So, yes, the Lord goes to Braj. That is the point. But also he changes so that he changes his dress. He changes everything so that he is again at home. You could almost compare it like when businessman comes from home, comes back from business, he has all this tight blue, black jackets and the business shirts, you know, the white and blue stripes and these narrow shoes, you know, which go pointed Italian style so on. And he just doesn't wish to go to be like this at home. So the first thing is he takes a shower. Then he dresses in a training pants and is totally at home. So the Lord has to also change if he wants to come to his original, most dear place. So I have one last thing about celebrating Krishna. You know how he is so special, that even the Lord of Dwaraka is wanting to see him. I have it here. As we know from the Bhagavatam, sometimes Krishna would discuss with one of his favorite queens, Rukmini. And they would discuss in Dwaraka various subject matters. So once Rukmini said something to the Lord. It comes from Sri Krishna Jamala Patala 50. Rukmini said, "My Lord, without you, the universe filled with moving and inert creatures would not exist. You, my Lord, stay in everyone's heart." Wonderful. "You are called the Super Soul." I remember this was my first introduction to Krishna consciousness. I managed to overcome my mountains of shyness and hesitation, cultural hesitation. And I entered the temple and I sat on the sofa and I said, I waited for someone to come. It took some time, but someone came. And I said, "What is your concept of God, please?" And the devotee just out of the blue said, I'd never forget this, "He's everywhere. He's in every atom and between." So he saw I was looking in the room. Where is the Lord? And somehow we sat next to a metal cupboard. It can be closed for, you know, it's for documents. It's made of iron. It really looks like prison furniture. And we sat next to it. It was dark brown, and you know, every drawer, you know, was rolling out, making a metallic sound, and could be pushed back. Whoop! It made a whoop when you put it back, and then you could close it. So I looked at this ugly thing. And the devotee could read my mind and said, yes, he's even in that iron cupboard. And then I heard a female voice calling him, "Mandali, Mandali." I still remember his name. And he said, "I'm sorry, my wife is calling. We are trying to finish a book and there must be some problem. I have to go. See you later." And he went out. And I sat next to this ugly iron cupboard and think, so Krishna is everywhere. I know these people are special. Then I remember driving home or going home by tube, by subway. Subway, you say in English? Subway? English? And I was sitting. They think he's everywhere. And as I was thinking it, something happened which I have discussed with several of my God brothers. It happened also to the most conservative Hare Krishna Swami. So it's not just me. I will not tell his name. He's a very dear God brother of mine. It is also described by Evelyn Underhill, who went through all the accounts of spiritual experiences in the various scriptures of the world and has grouped this experience under a specific grouping, which I would tell you a little later. But what happened to me is, first, I heard the sounds differently. Then I saw my surroundings differently. Then all of a sudden, everything started to shine. Now, I first thought, oh, this is what my friend who took LSD has also described. I have not taken. Well, it's one of these experiences. I knew I shouldn't have eaten their food. this was my first reaction. Yeah, I'm a little skeptical by nature. But then I remember it just was feeling so natural, so pure, so absolutely real. Now, I have no experience in psychedelic experiences. I don't know. Maybe that also feels real. I won't contrast them. But what I heard is, I heard the chanting of the holy name going through the whole subway. It was not that, let us say, that... It was like a kirtan. It was the subway kirtan which was going on. And I understood, maybe he is everywhere. That is what I understood. Maybe the Lord is really like they have said in the temple where they indicated, yeah, the room, and said he is everywhere. So Rukmini also, she says, you stay in everyone's heart. You are thus called the super soul. You are also supremely handsome. I can see how you look. You fulfill the desires of those who are filled with desires. But answer me one question. And please do not answer in an indirect way. Do not answer in a joking way. Say it as it is. On what are you meditating? Rukmini had seen she was the dear beloved of the Lord, and the Lord would get up very early from her bed. They were together, and he would get up very early, and then she would continue to sleep. But when she sneaked on the Lord, wanted to find, what is he doing? Why is he leaving this warm and comfortable bed? She saw he was meditating. Imagine those of you who are grihastas, you will find your husband at 4 o'clock meditating. You will say, what have you learned to meditate? I thought you were just chanting japa. You're meditating? And it's longer than the time of the Gayatri Mantra. So, what are you meditating? She wanted to know. What mantra are you chanting? Please tell the truth. She wanted to really know. When the best of the Yadus, Krishna, heard the sincere question of his beloved wife, he happily and respectfully placed her upon his lap. And with great joy, the greatest of joys in his heart, he said, O my beloved, although you asked about the most important of important things, which happens to be the most secret of all well-kept secrets, I will describe it to you. After all, you are my beautiful beloved, the queen of my life. I will tell you, I have no secrets before you. And would you like to hear his answer? Good. I am meditating on a great artist who has a charming, handsome form, who is a garden of love, whom Narada, the great sages and the Vedas declare is the supreme truth, the personality of Godhead. I'm meditating on him who is Radhika's life and who is the moon where the lotus eyes of the gopis go to gaze. I'm meditating on he who is the origin of everything. I'm meditating on him whose original form manifests a spiritual effulgence. Don't forget, Raghava Pandit, you are part of that effulgence. Huh? The Viraja, that is the form of the universe, in whose bodily pores the material universes are created. I'm meditating on him and upon Radha, who cannot be understood even by the purest minds. Day and night, in great bliss, I meditate on the delightful place named Divya Vrindavan, where there is no time, which is the feather placed on the head of all the universes. It means the topmost part, no? The best, which is Divya. I'm meditating about Vrindavan, which is beyond the spiritual world and which is full of love. It goes on and on and on, and he says how he also meditates about the flute Krishna plays on this flute many nectarian notes, and so on. In summary, he said, I meditate on Sri Krishna Chandra, who's the form of perfect transcendental love and who's filled with the bliss of love for Sri Radha. My dear devotees, let me ask you now, what do you consider to be most attractive in Krishna, the Lord of Vrindavan? When you think of Krishna, what do you know about him? What do you think about him? What is attracting you so that you have you're sincerely coming to the Jamashtami? What do you like in the birthday child? I'm looking at you and you are looking at me and I'm expecting some answers. Gaurahari, you appreciate that. Yeah. Yeah, he's not boring. You can see that every morning when you go to the altar. He's a really far out dresser. You know, who would dress like this? What do you like? Now, we want real answers. Yes, who is... Gaveshi, is it you? Yes, Gaveshi. His sense of humor. You have found that in your life? The stories? Yeah. Krishna. Ananya Bhakti, ich stelle dir mal eine Frage aus dem Blauen. Was schätzt du so an Krishna? Alles. Ja. Ja. Das ist schon mal gut, sind schon mal große Sachen. So, I asked this. Sometimes wisdom comes through the mouth of a child, not through our grown-up brains, which are a little dead sometimes. I asked Ananya Bhakti, what do you like in Krishna? Her spontaneous answer was everything. Then she thought a little bit more, and she said that he makes the heart happy when we think of Krishna, when we are singing his name, our heart becomes happy. Is this your experience? This is something real, no? I'm becoming happy. And then she thought a little bit more and said, he is very gütig. Gütig is something like merciful, but kind, you would say in English. Very kind. He doesn't give up on you, even if you are not so good. You know, this is always there. Can you see what I'm driving at? Many of us think of Krishna as a concept. And we think, oh, he's very far away. One day maybe, yes. We heard a very nice lecture this morning. Yes, for the advanced. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. The distant God, whom you can understand only as a concept, will not always change you so deeply. You have to integrate that. You have to learn to hear about him and think of him. In fact, so close, says Sanatana Goswami, that you think of him like you think of a close friend. A lokabandhu, no? Close friend. I was personally touched very, very much when I listened to an interview of the famous Swiss psychoanalyst C.G. Jung. One of my disciples played it for me, and C.G. Jung said so nicely, he became very spiritual in the end of his life, not at the beginning of his career. He said, humans have to engage with a God who is close, whom we can. He didn't know about seeing deities, you know. If I would ask you, how is Radha Madan Mohan dressed today? You should have an answer, because you may remember a close friend's dress today, but do you remember the Lord's dress? It is very important to bring the Lord close. Therefore, in the scriptures we hear, it comes in the 10th canto, that the amazing fortune of Agasura is described. Agasura had just brought the Lord by force into his mouth. He was very close now. He was in his throat. And as a result, he in contact with him, I said yesterday, the Lord is all auspicious, all beneficial. He came out of that sinful snake body, and he actually came into the body of the Lord. He came very close. Then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, imagine if this happens for a demon, how much so it happens to a devotee who meditates about Krishna. Let Krishna not become only a distant concept, something which, yes, 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 We believe in it, yes, a little bit. No, in the lecture, yes, and when I'm initiated, yes, at the moment of it. It has to become a closer experience. I find in my life no way to be closer to Krishna than in kirtan, but while I'm thinking about the form of the Lord, either his deity, when I chant before the deity, or I'm closing my eyes and think of Krishna as I've heard from the Bhagavatam, and all of a sudden, as the sound and the image become one, I'm no longer separating between, there's no separation, my bhakti becomes complete. Jiva Goswami said, if you doubt that the name and Krishna are the same, your bhakti breaks. Theory. One piece is there, another piece is there. Does not come together. My dear devotees, Jamashtami is coming. Let our bhakti come together. Let our Krishna come into our consciousness. Did you ever think about what it could mean that we are a movement for Krishna absent-mindedness? Oh, sorry. For Krishna consciousness? It means to be aware, to be conscious. And that is an important lesson of celebrating Krishna. How did you like these quotations from which Raghava Pandit had found? Yes, it's over. Congratulations. No, I know. I'm just trying to motivate you. I thank you very much. I could feel you were listening very nicely. It is 7 o'clock or 5 minutes to seven. What should we take home from this lecture celebrating Krishna? Well, in these wonderful scriptures, which scriptural quotes which we have heard, we have actually seen that the form of Krishna is even worshipped and meditated upon by the other forms of God. It's the supreme form of the Lord. It's a beautiful form of Lord. Should we end? Good. So I will say good. I will say, Bhagavatama, what is the schedule? Acha. Then I think we should have a little pause. No, let's have a little pause, and then latest by 7:30, please be here, because that is when we have the Adivash ceremony. Thank you very much. I wish you a wonderful Jamashtami tomorrow, and Hare Krishna.